Today on Our Town, one of the things we're discussing is homelessness in the Florence area. And joining me right now is Bob Teeter, and who's the executive director of the Sunnyside Outreach Services. And that's an agency that a lot of people in our community turn to when they're dealing with homelessness themselves. A lot of other things they're dealing with, too. But also people who want to help out the homeless turn to you as well. So hello, Bob. Thanks for joining me.
Hi. It's great to be here, and thank you for having me.
Yeah. Let's talk about how much of an issue is homelessness or unhoused people in our community?
Yeah. And just the term homelessness or unhoused, just kind of touch on that a bit. You know, unhoused has kind of become the new term to use, yeah. Even though we're not talking about actually putting them in a house. But they're kind of switched to, you know, and we see this in a lot of other areas. They kind of change the name because it associates with something. So homelessness is oftentimes associated with drug addiction or laziness and things like that. And
mental illness.
Yeah. And so, and it kind of puts a very negative stigma, you know, on those individuals, especially those who are trying to get out of that situation. And so they've kind of coined this new term that's being used often as about being unhoused. So it doesn't have quite the negative connotation. And it also focuses on what the issue is. They do not have a home.
You know?
Yeah. So, we deal with a lot of it. It's always been a problem, but, I hate to say it, but Oregon ranks number one in the country on homelessness in terms of number of unhoused individuals per capita. We were right behind Washington, and we've beaten out Washington. Hooray for us. it's a pretty severe problem. You know, the home prices have gone up. Just the cost of living's gone up. And the reasons why someone's unhoused is as vast as the numbers themselves. There's a lot of different reasons why somebody's unhoused.
You just anticipated one of my questions, which was, what is there a leading cause for homelessness, or are they all over the boards? And you just answered that question.
Yeah, it really is all over the board. Although, you know, there is statistic out there. Oregon ranks number one in, the number one cause of homelessness for women and children is domestic violence. Hmm. So a lot of times they're fleeing an abusive situation, not knowing that there are laws to protect their housing, or just, you know, they feel like they just got to get out of there, so they leave, and it's better to be on the street than to be with an abusive person. And so, for somebody who's a single parent trying to find housing, it becomes really, really difficult.
Yeah. And it's become such a state. The governor, Tina Kotek, one of her first things she did when she was sworn in earlier this year was declare an emergency for a certain number of counties in Oregon, most of them in the Willamette Valley.
There was eight that were, it was declared an emergency. Yeah.
Washington County, Multnomah County, Marion County, on down the line. But a lot of the rural legislators said, hey, wait a minute, it's not just the metro area that is experiencing issues here. So she broadened it. It included the whole state, right?
Yeah, it was. It's kind of interesting how that process came about. So they're, declared it a statewide emergency. However, the funding that she requested was ended up being only designated to those eight counties. Mm-hmm. And so, fortunate or unfortunate, Lane County was included. There was a recognition of, that it's a severe problem in rural communities.
Yeah.
It's not, as you said, not an urban issue. It's a state issue. So we were able to, through the county, I was actually placed on the county's leadership team to apply for funding for the entire county. And so part of the reason I was on there is to make sure that we had access to some of those funds, which we have been awarded a portion of those funds. The governor allocated $200 million for this all-in project. She calls it all-in against homelessness. And Lane County got the second largest amount. We were actually the first county to get our application in and approved on the first shot. Most counties that did receive it had to apply two or three times, or you had to have two or three revisions of their application, but we didn't have to. So we were able to get a pretty big chunk of that.
So Western Lane County, you have been instrumental in forming the homelessness resource team to administer that money out here, right?
Well, we're not administering that money through the homelessness resource team. So the Florence homelessness resource team was kind of a project that I came up with based on an experience I had in Linn County with a youth program. So in Linn County, we were having a lot of problems with youth, behavioral issues, things like that. And so we had a youth service team that was comprised of about 14 different groups, and we would collectively work with individual students who were being expelled from school or being incarcerated, things like that, to help them get back on track. We were even consulted on the Kip Kinkle situation in Springfield. Mm. So I wanted to kind of take that structure and adapt that to addressing homelessness here. And so we have a lot of individuals at several agencies we all see, you know, at different points. And we have that conversation with each other. How can we help this person? So we created this team to kind of team staff or keep team case manage some of these individuals. It was also an effort to coordinate services, to lend support to different funding efforts. But also Mayor Ward and City Manager Aaron Reynolds, you know, they came to me and said, you know, we've got a problem here with homelessness, unhoused individuals. What can we do? And I said, well, I think it starts with this group advising the city based on their direct experience, best practices. And so now we're meeting with city staff on a monthly basis to discuss those strategies.
And you were telling me that that homelessness resource team is comprised of folks like you, SOS, and the Cold Weather Shelter, Florence Food Share, those sorts of nonprofits that provide assistance and aid to folks that need it, but also law enforcement, healthcare. You've got Peace Health, Oregon Integrated Health, Florence Police Department. Anybody else?
Yeah, Helping Hands has been a part of the group too. And we're still, you know, adding some other groups. We kind of have a core group set up, but we also have kind of a separate kind of resource network too. Mm-hmm. So like Boys and Girls Club's involved in that, and some other agencies. So they may not be regularly working with unhoused individuals, but they might have resources for unhoused individuals. So like, you know, child care issues or, you know, families with children, things like that. So we, you know, brought Boys and Girls Club into it.
So the overall picture is that this is not something that you and others in the community have been just standing around saying, well, we have a problem, we need to do something. You've actually been doing something even before Governor Kotek created the All In for Homelessness program. How much money do you have out here in this part of Linn County to deal with, to use to deal with homelessness?
Yeah, so our agency was awarded just about $800,000. And so that money is earmarked for three different programs, really. So one of those programs is called Rapid Rehousing. So that would be for unhoused individuals. They'd have to have been unhoused for a certain period of time, but they found a place to move into. And so these funds would help them come up with like the first month's rent deposit, you know, any deposit on utilities, things like that, just to get them started. But the cool thing is with this money, we've had that kind of money before. This money recognizes that, well, someone who's been unhoused for quite a long time is going to need some pretty in-depth case management. So there's some dollars to cover that. They may need some life skills because, you know, going from unhoused to now taking care of an apartment or a house or something like that, there's some things they need to learn how to do that. There's also some financial literacy classes they have to take. But there's also, you know, things like they might need that they're coming in, you know, off the streets with next to nothing. So they may need a bed. They may need pots and pans, dishes, some basic living things. And those funds will help pay for those.
And the initial financial thing of, you know, first month's rent, security deposit, all that sort of, those are quite often some of the major reasons why some people wind up being in this situation, because they just, maybe they lost a job, they lost a source of income, and they cannot pay the rent. So, boom, they don't have a place to live. And so they decide to live in their car for a while to make some money, but they're not able to do that. So helping them with that money acknowledges that and helps to stave that off, but the financial literacy class and helping in case management, that you don't just say, okay, here's your first month and your security and your utilities, you're on your own.
Yeah.
You stay with him, work with him.
Yeah, and that's one of the number one things that we hear from landlords. That's a frustration, is that someone who's been unhoused, you know, they get into housing and they don't know how to handle it. They don't know how to, you know, even communicate with a landlord, especially somebody who's been unhoused for years. Loses those skills.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that we've done to kind of address those issues is for the last 6 years, actually 7 years now, I do a class at Sayula High School with the seniors. It's now all the seniors have to go through this one-day class through as a part of the senior economics program. But we go through what's in a rental contract, what's a lease versus a month-to-month, what are some of the costs that you have to come up with to move into a place? How do you search for a rental? If you have an issue or a dispute with a neighbor, how do you resolve that? How do you resolve that with a landlord?
So kind of a one-day personal finance class.
Yeah. Again, it's part of the, you know, they've been learning budgeting and all that stuff through the course. But one of the things that's always an eye-opener for them, or I see jaws drop, is when they find out how much does it cost to actually move into a place. And I think for people who have not rented for years, don't realize that it's almost as much as putting a down payment on a house.
Yeah.
I mean, we're seeing moving costs as much as $8,000 or $9,000 to get moved into an apartment, because a lot of landlords they're charging the first month's rent, they're charging the last month's rent, they're charging security deposits that's equal to the rent, they're charging the non-refundable cleaning deposit. If they have pets, there's another deposit on top of that. And it just goes up and up. And right now, the average cost of a rental in Florence for a two-bedroom apartment, it's about $1,300 a month. And for somebody who is, you know, working a service industry job, say, you know, they're working at Fred Meyer or someplace, even if they were working full time, you know, that's pretty close to 80% of their take-home pay.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a full-time minimum wage job, $13 an hour, that comes out to about $2,500, $2,600 a month gross before taxes.
Yeah.
And then, boom, you take out taxes of that, and you are at 80% at about $1,300. Now, I want to back up to what you said about the costs involved to get in. And a lot of people would throw stones at landlords and say, well, they're just greedy. That's self-preservation. A lot of landlords, they have just a few rental properties, maybe a small apartment building, or some big ones, but it takes a lot of money to take care of that building and to clean it and take care of it. And they've been injured in the past. They lose income when somebody doesn't pay the rent for 3 months and then moves out. So that's called financial responsibility.
The cost of repairs, taxes going up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's partly why it's so hard to pass school bonds and things like that, is because there's that fear that people on fixed income cannot afford any increase to their rent.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that was a change in 2016 was prior to 2016, landlords did not have a limitation on how much they could raise the rent. And in 2016, the state said you can't raise more than 10% within a 12-month period, and you have to give them a 90-day notice to do that. So they were doing that. Then COVID hit. That got frozen.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of people that didn't take advantage of funding that was available to cover rents during those periods. So then landlords were saying, hey, wait a minute, we lost all this income. We couldn't raise rent during this, you know, two-year period. So then the state said, okay, you can raise it 14%. So they did. Again, bumping it up, and our wages didn't increase to max that. So that put a heavier burden on the tenants. The state just came in 2 weeks ago and said, okay, we got to put a stop to this. So now they dropped it down to 7%. So now landlords are only allowed to do, and a lot of landlords have not been aware of that, and we've had to do some landlord education on that. Yeah.
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 And advocate for tenants. I want to back up to the $800,000 for the all-in money that you got from the governor's program. A couple weeks ago, I talked to you, and you had commented that there were some homeless people from Lincoln County and Coos County that were brought down.
Yeah,
we're
still kind of looking into that.
You'd kind of said you kind of thought it was because they thought we had more resources.
That's what we're hearing,
You think they might have just looked at the grant award and said, oh.
Some did.
Florence SOS got $100,000.
Yeah, that was one of the things that we were hearing from some of the groups that are busing these people in, that their county didn't get the money and ours did, so it's now our problem kind of thing. And we're not talking hundreds or anything like that. You know, we're talking, you know, maybe 50 50 or 60 that have been brought in. There's a, really come from about four different sources is what we're finding out, and we've addressed it with some of those.
Now, one time you had estimated there was something like just over 200 year-round homeless.
Yeah, that was kind of one of the things that, you know, it's hard to track because they don't have an address to track that to. But what we've been finding through, you know, the frequency and use of programs, we kind of saw what happened during COVID, kind of given us a good estimate of about 200 that are here year round. Although our office will see as much as the most I think we've ever seen was 760 in a year.
Wow.
But a lot of that is people that are, you know, coming up and down the coast. They kind of make this circuit. They come down from Newport to us to Coos Bay and get over to the Valley to Roseburg, and then work their way up to Eugene and so on. You know, they use services until it runs out, and then they move on to the next place. We also see a spike oftentimes right after the country fair. People have come to the country fair, and then, oh, we're close enough to the coast. Let's hop on over and see
the
ocean.
Let's go to the beach.
Yeah, and then they come over here. Oh, we ran out of money, so hopefully there's somebody who can help us, you know, get back home or give us housing or something. So we'll get flooded with people during that time period. But one of the things I wanted to touch on, going back to one of the challenges for people that are trying to get into housing, you know, there's a lot of individuals that they don't have jobs, right? And the common thing I hear is, well, why don't they just go out and get a job? It's harder than you think. I mean, if you are an employer, are you going to take a chance on somebody who's unhoused? Because you're going to be wondering, why are they unhoused? You know, is it because of drug addiction? Is it because of criminal record? Those
or
things.
Maybe you've hired somebody in that situation before and it didn't work out.
Right, right. And because of Homeland Security requirements for employers and different things, they have to have a physical address to put down an application. Well, that's one of the services that Helping Hands has been able to provide. However, they need ID to qualify for that. Well, to get the ID, they need a physical address. If they don't have a physical address, they can't get the ID. If they don't have the ID, they can't get the physical address. So it becomes this vicious cycle that they're lost in.
So it's a catch-22.
Yeah. And so it's not as easy for somebody to get out of that situation. And for some of it, at some point, they get so frustrated, I might as well just do drugs because at least I can maybe forget about or get distracted or something, because I can't get anywhere. I can't figure this out. I can't navigate this system.
Yeah. Bob Teeter is the Executive Director of Science Outreach Services, and that's has over the years has become the nonprofit agency in our community that deals a lot with homelessness. They do a lot of other things in the community, advocacy for domestic abuse and a lot of things like that. But recently, Western Lane County got $800,000 from the state's All In to End Homelessness program. And so you're tasked with divvying that up. Now, you've talked about helping people get into a housing, taking care of that, and financial literacy. What else?
Yeah, so part of that funding also goes to what's called prevention. Which would be, you know, somebody maybe have had a medical issue that's happened, or their hours got cut back and now they're facing eviction. Mm-hmm. So those funds could help for a month or two to stave off an eviction, or could be helped to do, you know, utility assistance. Maybe their power's about to be shut off and we could help with those electric bills to buy them some time to figure out another plan. The other part of the funding that's new for us, and we haven't had this ability before, is called diversion. And what diversion does is there may be something that can stave off an eviction that's not rent specific. So, for example, you know, maybe they have a job maybe a few miles out of town, and to keep that job, they need transportation. Their transportation might be their vehicle, and that vehicle maybe broke down. Well, they don't make enough income or don't have enough money to get that fixed. We could fix that so they could keep their job. Or if they needed, you know, non-slip shoes for working in a restaurant, if they don't get their own shoes, they may be out of a job. Of course, all these things, they have to provide documentation to prove these things. Okay. But it gives us a lot of flexibility. We had somebody in our office this morning who they're living in an RV, but they're now being told they have to leave their RV park because it's had some mechanical issues. It doesn't meet their standards. So now they're applying for those funds to get that fixed so they can stay there.
Yeah. Bob Teeter is the Executive Director of Science Outreach Services. We've been talking homelessness in the community. And, Bob, thanks for taking time to visit with me today. Let's get together in 60, 90 days and touch base and get a little progress on this.
It's going to be interesting how this all-in project works. The state of emergency only lasts until January. But we were in a meeting that there's talk of maybe the emergency may end in January, but there may be some commitment by the county to keep some of these programs going at least through the next 2 years. And so they're taking a look at that.
All right. And money makes the world go round.
Yes, it does.
All right. Thank you, Bob. This is Our Town. We'll be back with more right after this.